the side of the enemy. In fact, they were of their father, the devil. He says, you're of your father, the devil. This is Jesus, everyone. Who do we follow? Yeah. I've got three voices, four. People. Low energy. Yeah, very low energy that was. Maybe people were thinking. Maybe they were thinking, because it does get you to think this. But you picture it. That's the Jesus who we follow. He's clear and he's strong. He's clear and he's strong. He knows exactly who they are. Oh, you don't go with the truth. I think of lots of areas of society now where people don't go with the truth. They're just making their own lies up. You know, and they're pretending it's the truth. And they're inflicting it on people. Crazy stuff. Well, we need to be the people who says, listen, we know the truth. I know that that's a lie. I'm not going that way. Okay, that's of the devil. It's a lie. It's of the devil. Can you say it? Let's just practice it. Let's just have a go, shall we? I tell you what, we'll say this. It's a lie and it's of the devil. Yeah. It's a lie and it's of the devil. Why don't we say it now with a bit of energy? It's a lie and it's of the devil. That's what it is. We'll stick it in that place and just say that's where it is. It's a lie and it's of the devil. He's the father of all lies. Jesus says, you know, a beautiful thing in John 8:32. He says the truth will set you free. You know, the truth sets us free. And you know what I find with Jesus? He's the, very often, you know, he's so gracious, you know. It's the religious people, okay, the ones who are negative towards people, who try and constrain people with rules and regulations, and they're just so negative. That those people is the ones he says are of the devil. And I find that Jesus was full of grace. Jesus is so kind and loving, but he doesn't compromise. But he's kind and loving to people who are honest enough to say, listen, I know that I'm not all I could be. I'm a work in progress. To them, he gives grace. But to the religious leaders who never do anything wrong, who always, you know, pretend to know everything, and they're clever dicks, to them, he says, oh, you're of your father, the devil. Because they purport to be of God, and they're not. Now, point three, I'm not going to spend too long. We've got the notes, but you take the notes home. And there's other things we can look at. Spiritual slavery, it talks about. It talks about eternal separation from God. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that. Eternal separation from God. Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, Matthew 7:23. These are the words of Jesus. Let me say it like this to you. I was listening to a sermon yesterday. You know, I enjoy listening to sermons in the bath. I really enjoy having a bath and listening to a sermon. And we've got a little container where I put my phone, and it's a little plastic thing, and Micah got it from some clever shop, and you put it in, and you can then even scroll through the plastic. So in the bath, I like a nice warm bath with lots of bubbles. And I watch this, and I close it, and then I just play this, you know, this thing, and I listen to the sermon. Sometimes, I'll tell you the people I listen to. I listen to Norman Vincent Peale. I like listening to him. Always positive and uplifting. I listen to Pastor Jim Symbol of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Tremendous minister, godly man. And I then listen to Billy Graham. I like listening to Billy Graham. I really like his sermons because I find that he's so straight and true. Now, when it comes to this, Billy Graham, he says, there are a few others I listen to, but those are the main ones. But he was talking about this point yesterday. Billy Graham was. And what he said was this. He quoted from C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis famously had said, listen, Jesus was either a crazy man, right, making the claims that he does. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Well, you're joking, or what? You're the way, the truth, and the life. All these religious leaders, and you're going up against them, and you're accusing them of being of their father, the devil. What? Who is this Jesus? I'm the way, and the truth, and the life. Well, well, C.S. Lewis made this observation. He's either a liar, okay? He's either a liar, who's just, you know, just a con man, conning people, or he's a lunatic, just a crazy person, you know. Or the third option, and the one that C.S. Lewis believed, and I believe, and you believe, is that he was who he claimed to be. And so we've rejected, and I studied, you know, history, and I looked at the text, the biblical text, but also texts outside of the Bible. I became very convinced that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And so his words then carry tremendous weight. So when Jesus says this to people, "Depart from me, I never knew you," in Matthew 7:23, those words have great weight. I remember, you know, when I was in the Methodist Church, we were in the main church of British Methodism, and I brought this up many, many years ago. I was a local preacher in the Methodist Church, and I said, look, Jesus brought this up. I said, and the New Testament speaks more about hell than it does heaven. But I said, how come in all the training that I've received, you never talk about hell? You never mention hell. You never warn people about the reality of this place that Jesus seems to talk about quite a bit. There's quite a lot of information about this place called hell in the New Testament. And if we are genuinely followers of Jesus, how is it that somehow you're not talking about it? I mean, maybe I'm just a young man. I said, maybe I'm wrong. I said, but surely for me, I said, you know, we ought to be more like engaged with what Jesus is saying in this. Could it be that that's really true? And if so, we ought to be like warning people. You know, if that's true, you'd warn people, wouldn't you? If you really loved people, you'd warn people. I mean, you would, wouldn't you? You know. They said, they got really angry with me. I thought they were such nice people. You want to see them get angry? Whew, bring that subject up. They got really angry with me. And I said, we don't talk about, we've left that behind. We don't talk about that. I thought, well, you may have left that behind. But Jesus didn't leave it behind. And I'm not following you. I'm following Jesus. And that was one of the first steps for me to be leaving that denomination. How many people know that if it says church on the outside, it doesn't necessarily mean what we think it means? Okay, look, it's much easier these days. Actually, it's much easier these days because this is the next point. Come to the next point with me. You might as well go there straight. False prophets and distortion of the truth. Okay, that's the next point on this. Point three, can you see it? Key scripture, let me read it. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Jesus warned of false teachers who would appear godly, but distort the truth. They distort the truth. And you know, you can see them. They just distort it. They don't want to embrace it. Because if you embrace it, you've got to have some tricky conversations with people. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that it boils down to, a lot of the time, I think it boils down to good old-fashioned straightforwardness, the courage of your convictions. Just having the courage of your... Look, it's not my gospel. I didn't make it up. Who am I? I'm just a follower. But I'm following Jesus. I'm not following a denomination. I'm not following my own thinking. Listen, I don't trust my own thinking enough to follow my own thinking. If you ask me how, I'm having trouble getting this towel thing to fit in the wall and get it straight and get it fixed. So every time we pull the towel off, the thing doesn't fall off. I can't even seem to get that to work properly. You think I'm going to trust myself with eternity? You must be joking. I get things wrong too often to trust myself on eternity, okay? So I don't trust myself on simple things, let alone the big things of life. But what I find is that Jesus' words. Now listen to me, everyone. Listen to this. Let's all take a trip right now. I'm going to show you something right now. I tell you what, let's all do it. Everyone close your eyes right now. Pretend the church is a spaceship. Elon Musk has got hold of us, and he's managed to put an engine on this thing, okay? He's put one of those great big engines on the church, and now we're going up, we're sailing up high. We're going high, high, high into the sky. We're going up into the clouds. We're way up now. We're right on the edge of space, okay? And Elon has said, look down. What do you see? And what you see is a huge world, but it's in the distance. But what you see is the world. Okay, now let's make the journey back home. Come back down. Oh, yeah, look, he's got that engine on. We're going down. Oh, and he's got those grippers. You see those grippers? He grips the rocket ship. Boom, and he places us right back, perfect. We're right back where we started. Here's the thing. From outer space, from God's perspective, this planet called Earth is not centered around what happens in Great Britain. Great Britain is a tiny little place on planet Earth. And it just so happens that in Great Britain, currently in 2025, this type of teaching about heaven and hell and the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ is way out of fashion, but it's not out of fashion in other places on planet Earth with a much bigger area. It's not out of fashion in India. It's not out of fashion in China even. The gospel is growing. It's growing like a wildfire in parts of China. It's not out of fashion in many places in the earth, but it's out of fashion. I agree. It's out of fashion. That doesn't mean a thing. The truth is what counts. Is it the truth? So it's the truth. Watch what it says in these points. Look, they preach half-truths that mislead people. One of the big half-truths is there's a lot of cessationist churches going around that don't believe in the power. We've heard testimonies this morning about the power of God and how that's impacted. Great testimonies that we've heard this morning. Wonderful things that God has been doing. But, you know, those things aren't in evidence in cessationist churches. They're the churches that believe that the gifts have ceased, that there's no tongues, that there's no miracles, there's no... And there's a lot of those churches around. And a lot of people that I know follow those people. And I said to this one man, right? I said, listen, he said, what do you think of this teacher? And I said, well, I said, he comes across, he's so nice. He looks so nice, this man. And there's a few of them. And you know, he's got a lovely suit on, and he's got a lovely voice, and he's speaking in a full, big church. And, you know, it's very good, you know, it's very impressive. It looks all so good. But the truth is that it's a cessationist gospel. It's not the full gospel. It's not what Jesus was teaching. Because in Mark 16, I told this man, in Mark 16, Jesus promised that these signs will follow them that believe. But I said, they're preaching that these signs won't follow those people that believe. I said, that's going against the gospel. It's against what Jesus preached. That's anti-Christian then. But you've got to have eyes to see it, ears to understand it. Are you with me still, everyone? It's important because I tell you, the enemy comes along, he just tries to take people away, lead them away softly. Just, that's his trick. Don't allow him to do it, please. It's a warning from the scripture. Jesus says, beware of false prophets. You know, another one is you can have a church. Okay, we've touched on heaven and hell. We've touched on it this morning in plain truth, haven't we? Well, you can have a church. You'll go there for years. You'll never hear that. You'll never hear that. Now, you'll hear nice band music, and maybe it'll be a young place, and they'll have all sorts of good music in there. The coffee will be great afterwards. There'll be all sorts of things going on. It'll be a great, it's all with it, and it's all happening. The problem is they missed the whole blessed point. I mean, they've missed the whole point. And it's there for us to see if we observe it. So listen, God is saying to us, be wise. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe everything that says they're of God or a church or whatever. Be close to my word. Don't follow the preacher. Don't follow the preacher. Follow Jesus. Follow the Bible. And the Bible will lead us then into the truth. Now look, I would say, listen, Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. And I would echo that. Follow me as I follow Christ, because I believe we're preaching here from the Bible. We're preaching Bible truth. And I believe it's very clear for any objective person to see. But you hear what I'm saying as I say the words I say. The point four is the narrow way and the broad path. And there's a wide path that leads to destruction. Jesus is, the truth is often unpopular. Jesus warned that the wide path leads to destruction. Many take this path because it's easy, much easier. Oh, so much easier. If you take that path, it's just much easier for you. You wouldn't have the hassle. And for preachers and for ministers, I've known ministers who've stuck with the Bible, stuck with the clear path, and then everything that they have worked for, and it's been taken from them in this country because they wouldn't get with the program of the denomination. Yeah, I've known that to happen to several people because they were being faithful to the Bible and the truth. They wouldn't compromise. But you know, if you ask them, they'd say, well, they wouldn't change a thing. Why? Because point five teaches us there is a final judgment. And at the final judgment, the truth will be revealed. And in John 12:48, it says, the word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Jesus made it clear the truth will ultimately prevail. It's unfashionable now, without doubt, but truth will prevail. And those who reject his words will be judged by the very truth that they ignored. They'll be judged by that truth. It may be looking good for them now. They may be thinking they've got it all, going on. But in the end, I'm glad to be with Jesus. I just want to be with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. And the Bible... Yeah. And the Bible promises that we will enter, the righteous will enter eternal life, Matthew 25, 46. And the deceived will face judgment, Revelation 20, 15. There's a warning there. The truth cannot be avoided. Everyone will one day stand before Christ and give an account. That's the truth. So I'm so happy to have the truth of Jesus' words. And in John 17, Jesus' words are for us who believe him. He says this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Praise be to God. Amen. The question that is the last few words on this paper that I've handed out is, will you choose to follow truth today? And it applies to every part of life. And it's about having this high energy, when you wake up in the morning tomorrow, or when you're going about things this afternoon, tell yourself, hey, have high energy. If you've got a difficult thing to journey to make, or you're going somewhere and you're feeling tired, talk to yourself and say, hey, have high energy. Come on. Reject the low energy. Be of high energy. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, just say, you know what? Oh, it's going to be a long day. Don't have that. Say, I'm going to have high energy today. I've got a long day ahead of me. I've got all sorts of opportunities. Opportunities to meet people. Opportunities to do things. I'm going to close with one testimony about this. On Friday night, we had the prayer meeting here. It was beautiful. And I went outside, and Michael went to the shop with the children. She was ages in the shop. And I was just outside, and I said goodbye to everyone. And I was just praying in the front there, in the garden in the front. And I was just praying, Lord, thank you for everything, Lord, thank you. And I was praying about this energy stuff. The Lord has been. And I noticed a man in the bus stop, just standing on his own. And I walked over to him. I felt the Lord saying, go and tell him the gospel. And I'd been studying, you know, from the book of Romans. You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, we'll just finish with it. I'll just show you. Book of Romans, chapter 1, it says this. It says this in verse 16. It says, I just want to read it out because I like reading it. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And as I was standing there, I felt the Lord say, go and tell him the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. And I walked over to this man, and I walked over, and he looked a little bit, he's having a tough time, and I noticed the tattoos on his neck. And I said, good evening, sir. And he said, yeah, how's it going, man? He was friendly enough, but there was a few expletives in there. And I just had a little chat with him. And I said, you believe in God? I said, and he said, yeah, I believe in loads of gods. And we have this chat. And then I gave him the gospel. I just told him the gospel. I told him about Jesus dying for his sins, that Jesus loves him. And Jesus sees him like a little boy. And Jesus has got a whole new start for him if he wants a new start. And Jesus can help him. And he started to tear up. And and he told me a few things about his life and what was going on. And about his mum who needed an operation soon. And we prayed for his mum. And we prayed for him. And he wanted to give his life to Jesus. And I had the privilege of leading him in a prayer, you know, to accept Jesus as his savior, just in the bus stop there on Friday night. And I gave him my phone number, I gave him some literature. And I thought, what a beautiful thing, what a beautiful God we serve, you know. What a wonderful savior we have. God is so kind, you know. And God loves people so much, you know. You know, like you love your children. You know, if your children mess up, you just love your children, don't you? You're not hard with them and harsh. You just love them. And God is like that to each one of us, you know. He loves us so much. And he loves that man with the tattoos and the thing. And he loves that lady who's having terrible problems. And that he just loves people. And so everything I said in this, okay, is about the truth. Heaven and hell, I believe all of that. But how we represent him is with kindness and gentleness and try and have love for everyone. That's how we represent him, you know, as in a meekness and a kindness and a humility. Just being humbled before God. He doesn't want us to be, you know, bombastic, and he just wants us to be kind and gentle, and so that they meet the real Jesus, because the real Jesus is so beautiful, you know, the real Jesus, who is so kind to us and so loving. Praise his glorious name. Amen. Let's stand, shall we, and close. Let's stand and close with a hymn. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.